The information given in this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice. Always consult your medical team. Welcome to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast, where it's all about you and overcoming your PCOS. And now, here's your host, Taryn.
Welcome to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. I know that I have not podcasted. I just had a look on iTunes. It's been 3 years since the last podcast, which is absolutely horrendous. So I am back to podcasting much more frequently and consistently than I ever have before. At least that is my aim. And just for those of you who don't know me, my name is Taryn. I run the website PCOS Diet Support. And I've spent the last 6 months to a year being really busy doing things that you wouldn't necessarily see. Just earlier this year, I released a brand new fertility course, PCOS and Fertility. So that obviously took a lot of time and attention. We've been developing things on the back end where we've got a whole new free email course called Thrive with PCOS. So these are some of the things when you go to PCOS Diet Support and you see that the blog posts are not necessarily every week, it's because I'm spending a lot of my attention doing some things kind of behind the scenes. But not only that, life is pretty full. For those of you who don't know, I live in the south coast of England. We are originally from South Africa, but moved to England about 10 years ago. And I homeschool our children. So my daughter is nearly 7 and my son is nearly 4. So Josh doesn't need too much school, but he still needs a lot of time and attention. And I spend quite a lot of time with Gracie doing various school things. So that really eats into the time that I'm able to dedicate to PCOS Diet Support. But I wouldn't really have it any other way. I love being with the kids and I love doing all the articles and stuff for PCOS Diet Support. So life is full and life is busy, but it's something that I really do enjoy. And the other thing that I've been doing is we were in South Africa for 6 months of the year and we missed winter altogether. And this time last year, we were getting ready to go, spend 6 months in beautiful Cape Town. And that's actually where we developed the PCOS and fertility course. So we were not just on holiday. We spent 6 months out there kind of working and seeing family and just living a South African way of life, I guess, which we loved. And we're now back in the UK. But I have to say, even though the weather's starting to turn, there's still a real soft spot for England. It's just beautiful going on these lovely walks in the crisp cold. You know, all the leaves are changing color. It's a really lovely time of year. So that's more or less what I've been up to over the last year, never mind the last 3 years that I haven't podcasted, but now you're up to date with what I've been doing for the last year. And I really thought that today we should talk about something that has struck my interest recently, something that I've been researching and trying out for myself. And for those of you who don't know me, I feel really strongly about only telling you about the things that have really good scientific research and backing, because I think that there are a lot of people who are trying to sell miracle cures or who have some kind of hocus pocus stuff going on. So if there is solid scientific medical research, then I will tell you about it. And if it's something that I want to give a go, kind of do experiments on myself with my own PCOS. And this is one of those things. So I thought today we should talk about a ketogenic diet for PCOS. Now, ketogenic diets are not something new. They've been around for a really long time. The South Beach diet, the Atkins diet, these are all kind of variations of a ketogenic diet. And in fact, I tried a ketogenic diet a couple of years ago, just probably about 6 or 7 years ago. My husband is a type 1 diabetic, and he came across this book by a guy called Dr. Bernstein. And Dr. Bernstein is a very strong advocate of a ketogenic diet for managing type 1 diabetes. So 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, Tim and I went on a ketogenic diet. And I have to say, I did not enjoy it at all. We were eating just so much protein. We didn't feel like the variety of vegetables that I was eating was probably not near enough. And we didn't last particularly long. So since then, kind of the ketogenic diet is not something that I've considered. But I have various weight loss courses and I have various, not just for weight loss, we've got the weight loss execution plan and we also have the PCOS master plan. And one of the women who had been through the weight loss execution plan and the PCOS master plan sent me an email to say that although she did lose weight with implementing the strategies that I talk about, what was really beneficial for her was following a ketogenic diet as well as doing intermittent fasting. So this really piqued my interest. I thought I have to read more about this. I have to know what's going, you know, kind of what the science is behind it. And that's led me on this whole kind of rabbit hole of looking at a ketogenic diet. So I want to go through some of the benefits of a ketogenic diet, and I want to explain what a ketogenic diet is, and then I'm going to answer some questions that I anticipate that you may have. So the first thing about a ketogenic diet, when you think ketogenic, you generally, a lot of people think low carb, high fat. And that is right. It's a low carb diet. So what we're doing in a ketogenic diet is we are teaching our bodies, we are training our bodies to use fat as its primary fuel, as opposed to using glucose. So we're not relying on carbohydrates. And I read a great book on intermittent fasting by a guy called Dr. Fung. His book was called The Complete Guide to Fasting. And he had this really great analogy where he's saying that our body, when we eat carbohydrates, our body stores some of it in, and he calls it almost like the refrigerator. So the glucose storage is easy to access, just like our fridges, okay? So it's frequently stocked up, it's easy to access, it's right in our kitchens. Whereas our fat storage are like those huge chest freezers in the basement. It takes more effort to get to them. And you also wouldn't necessarily go down into your huge chest freezer in the basement if you have this constant supply of food in your refrigerator. It's just too much effort. You'd just rather go to the fridge, which makes complete sense. So if our fridge is completely stocked up permanently, so if we always have this constant supply of glucose, we always have easy access to glucose, our bodies are going to far prefer burning that glucose as opposed to going to the fat stores. Now, there is another whole conversation around insulin. Insulin's main job is to store that glucose. So when we have a meal that's very high in carb, or just any carbohydrates, really, insulin is released. And insulin transports that sugar from our bloodstreams into our muscles. If all those glucose stores are full, insulin is then responsible for storing that glucose as fat. Now, as women with PCOS, research has shown that our bodies are very sensitive to carbohydrates. We tend to release more insulin than we need. So we tend to have this fat storage being really promoted. And that's why a lot of us really struggle with weight around our middle. But the other problem with insulin when it comes to PCOS is that insulin knocks on our ovaries and causes our ovaries to release too much testosterone. So the basis of any kind of PCOS diet is to manage insulin. Now, if you think about a ketogenic diet, if you are having very few carbs, so you're on a low carb diet, your need for insulin is not nearly as high. And that's going to be helpful in terms of you're not getting all of that extra fat storage happening, but you're not also getting all this release of testosterone from your ovaries. So from a PCOS point of view, it does seem to make sense. Also, if you are not going to your glucose stores, okay, so if you're not relying on that glucose, if you're running low on energy, your body can much more easily turn to your fat stores, which is why it is also easier to lose weight. Now, one of the other bonuses, kind of apart from weight loss, of this ketogenic diet is that healthy fat. So when we're talking about fat, I'm not necessarily talking about all that saturated fat. I'm not talking about unhealthy fat. I'm thinking about kind of extra virgin olive oil, avocados, nuts, olives. So we're talking about really healthy coconut oil. We're talking about healthy fats. We're not talking about high levels of saturated fats, okay? And a diet that is rich in these really healthy fats and these, you know, lots of omega-3s, a diet that is rich in these healthy fats tends to keep you feeling fuller for longer, which means that you're not necessarily eating as many calories as you would do. And that has certainly been the case for me. My appetite is really much better managed. I'm able to go for much longer between meals. I very seldom snack. Where before, you know, before I went on a keto diet, even though I was following a PCOS diet, so I was following low glycemic load, I was, you know, I don't eat dairy, I don't eat any gluten, I was still feeling like I needed to have snacks in between my meals, where now I absolutely don't do that. I'm not hungry, which is obviously really helpful. The other thing is that because my insulin is much better controlled, I'm not having these huge peaks and troughs in my insulin levels, I'm actually not having any cravings. If I do have a craving, it's very easily satisfied by a little block of dark chocolate, which is kind of considered a superfood and is low in carbohydrates. So I'm not having as many cravings. I'm feeling much fuller for longer. And I've happy to say I've lost a little bit of weight. Now, I don't want to just go into the, when I look into things, I make sure that there is a lot of evidence behind it. So I did have a look, and there has been some research on a ketogenic diet or a low-carb, high-fat diet for women with PCOS. The study found that following women for 6 months, so over a six-month period, women who followed this ketogenic diet, they found a significantly reduced testosterone levels, fasting insulin was much better, and the ratio between luteinizing hormone and follicle-stimulating hormone was much better. And there was also an average of a 12% weight loss, so 12% of body fat kind of loss, body weight, was lost over the six-month period. So that is huge. That's really significant. And it shows really promising results for women with PCOS. Now, I know a lot of you are going to be concerned because when you think about high fat, you think about cholesterol. High cholesterol, we know that women with PCOS are prone to high cholesterol anyway. So you might be thinking like you absolutely cannot follow this ketogenic diet because you have high cholesterol. Well, actually, it's shown that a ketogenic diet full of healthy fats is good for your heart health. It's actually been shown to lower cholesterol. And it's been shown to be helpful with acne. So there were a lot of positives. There were a lot of pros to following a ketogenic diet. But obviously, there are some cons, and we need to look at this in a really balanced kind of way, and we need to look at the pros and cons. So the cons of a ketogenic diet. The cons are that it can be difficult to follow. And I have certainly found this. I've certainly found that it needs a lot more thought. It needs a lot more planning and preparation than what I would normally do. So for example, yesterday we went for a lovely walk along the coast and we had a picnic. So instead of packing kind of the usual picnic lunch that I would pack, normally for a picnic I would pack things like a potato salad and a coleslaw, and I would pack some kind of protein, so some kind of chicken with it. I had to think a little bit more carefully about what I would pack. So I packed lots of nuts and I packed avocados and olives. And, there was a big salad, like a big tuna salad. But obviously that takes a lot more preparation. It was very cold yesterday, not necessarily the kinds of things that I'd want to be eating on a cold day. But you know what? It was healthy. I knew that it would keep within my ketogenic diet. And it kept me really satisfied, even though we had done quite a lot of activity and we'd done quite a lot of walking. It was a really delicious meal. But it can be more difficult to follow. The other thing is that when you first start a ketogenic diet, many people have what they consider or what they call keto flu. And I certainly had this, even though my diet was not the standard American diet where I was eating loads of pasta and pizza and lots of carbs, but I certainly was having more carbs than I am now. And when I lowered my carbs, I definitely had a headache for a good couple of days. And so a lot of people consider kind of keto flu, and the symptoms of keto flu would be things like headaches, nausea, and achiness, and feeling quite tired. And I certainly had that. But after 3 or 4 days, my energy levels picked up significantly. I feel much more alert and I feel much better. So those symptoms do pass, although the first couple of days can be a bit rough. Another common side effect of a keto diet is constipation, because you might not be having as much fiber as you would normally have. You are cutting out some of the vegetables that are high in fiber. So some people do struggle with that. And the last thing just that I want to point out is that women with PCOS are more prone to have some kind of thyroid dysfunction. So things like Hashimoto's are more common in women with PCOS. And your thyroid is something that should be regularly monitored by your doctor. Now, if you do have a sluggish thyroid, if you do have hypothyroidism, then you do want to be careful about a ketogenic diet. And the reason is that insulin is important for proper thyroid function. So if you drop your insulin levels too low, it could impact on your thyroid. So if you do have any kind of thyroid dysfunctional concerns around your thyroid, please speak to your doctor or be aware before you start this kind of ketogenic diet. Okay, now, to answer some questions that I suspect a lot of you may have, what on earth do you eat would be a question that I certainly had. So let me give you an idea. I'll give you a run through of what my average day would look like. So for breakfast, we've been having something called note meal, which is really, I think it's pecan nuts, almond nuts, and coconut. grind that all up with some kind of, I use coconut milk, but almond milk would be fine, with a couple of berries on top. That's often my breakfast. Or this morning, for example, we had some scrambled egg and half an avocado and some mushrooms and some tomatoes, kind of baby tomatoes. So that was breakfast. Lunch, I will often have leftovers, or I will have kind of a really big salad. So I really want to focus on getting good nutrition. I don't just want to focus on carbs, proteins, and fats. It's really important to me that I'm making sure that I'm eating a good, healthy, balanced diet with as many nutrients as I could possibly get in there. So a salad is a really great way of getting all those nutrients in. Lots of green vegetables. I might have some kind of peppers, some onions, some mushrooms. I would stick some broccoli on there, kind of any kind of vegetable that I could find that is relatively low carb. And I would top that off with some kind of protein. So either some chicken, or I would do half a tin of tuna. And that would be a really healthy lunch. And I would drizzle it with avocado oil or olive oil. And then dinners, we've been really exploring dinners. I have really enjoyed, I've recently got an Instant Pot, so I'm doing lots in the Instant Pot. But dinners, you know, for my family, I'm cooking very similar to how I would normally cook. So instead of having a whole bunch of sweet potatoes, I would just have a whole lot more of the vegetable, whatever vegetable I've cooked. Or I would have cauliflower rice. So I've made lots of curries or casseroles, and I've just had them over cauliflower rice or cauliflower mash. So that would be kind of my average day. And I have to say that there is very little that I miss. I'm really enjoying the variety of food that I'm eating, and I'm experimenting with lots of different foods. So that has been, it's been really helpful and really exciting. The next question that I'm sure you have is it absolutely necessary to follow a ketogenic diet in order to manage your PCOS? And I want to be really clear on this. I have known about my PCOS probably for nearly 10 years. I have never taken any medication for my PCOS. I've purely managed it through diet and supplements and exercise. And this is the first time that I have tried a ketogenic diet. I have never needed to try a ketogenic diet. This is an experiment that I'm doing. I absolutely do not believe that you have to follow a ketogenic diet in order to manage your PCOS. I think, yes, it could be helpful. I think that if you have plateaued with your weight loss, or if you feel like your symptoms are particularly out of control, then I think that it could be worth a try to try a ketogenic diet. But this is not essential. I would absolutely strongly recommend that you follow the guidelines of a PCOS diet, which are that you follow foods that low, or you eat foods with a low glycemic load, you are dairy-free, and you are gluten-free. Those are the kind of three fundamentals of a good PCOS diet. And if you are wondering about the research around that, please feel free to go to PCOSdietsupport.com. There is a search function, search for dairy, search for gluten, search for glycemic load. There are always references to all the research articles if you want to know more about why those are the kind of the foundations of a PCOS diet. So I would recommend that you follow those guidelines first, see how your symptoms do, and if you feel like you are not seeing the results that you would like, then I would think that you could consider going ketogenic. But you don't have to start off there. I wouldn't necessarily start off, you know, doing keto straight away. If you want more information, I actually have an article on the keto diet for PCOS, and within that article, there are two books that I recommend. The one is called The Keto Reset Diet by Mark Sisson. It was a really helpful book. And what I really liked about the book is that he's very focused on nutrition. It's not just about making sure that you are eating low carb and high fat, but he's really interested in how much nutrient-dense foods you're eating. So that is one book that I really recommended. And then once you've read that, you might want to look at intermittent fasting, which is something that I'll be writing on an article on soon. But intermittent fasting, the really good book on that was that Dr. Fung, and it's The Complete Guide to Fasting. So those are two really helpful books. Then if you are new to PCOS diet support, or if you've just recently been diagnosed with PCOS, you might be feeling quite overwhelmed with the amount of information that is out there, because there is a lot of information that certainly wasn't around when I was first diagnosed. There is a lot of information out there, and you may just want little bit of guidance into how to go about managing your PCOS. You may want that information broken down for you into more easily understood, like more easy to understand bite-sized chunks. And if that is the case, then I really want to encourage you to sign up for my latest and my newest email course. It's called Thrive with PCOS. You can access it by going to PCOSdietsupport.com. You'll see that there's a way to sign up just on that homepage. I really want to encourage you to do that. It's an email-based course. There are 6 lessons. There are worksheets that go with each session to help you apply the information. And if it's a kind of self-paced course, so if you want to go through the whole course within 1 day, you're absolutely welcome to. As soon as you submit a worksheet, you will get the next lesson straight away. But I've had a lot of wonderful feedback from that, especially from women who feel like it just, that the course helps you to understand what is happening in your body. And it also gives you hope in that, you know, you don't have to take medication for the rest of your life. There are some alternatives. There are options that you can look at. And I do explore those within the course. So I encourage you to sign up for the Thrive with PCOS course, which you can do at PCOSdietsupport.com. Okay, so I think we'll leave it at that for today. Thank you so much for joining me and spending time with me. I really look forward to being more consistent with podcasting, so you can expect to see more podcasts in the future. So just keep an eye on that iTunes feed. Thanks so much, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. For more PCOS diet tips and support, visit PCOSdietsupport.com.